Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Back for part two in their Building Virtual Machines in the New Microsoft Cloud series, Blaine Barton and Tommy Patterson walk us through the process of how to configure the web and file services in the domain and how to install PowerShell tools in Windows Azure. Tune in for this in-depth demo and discussion. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time, TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, Senior Technical Evangelist, Microsoft, here in my studio. And with me, I have Tommy Patterson out of Atlanta, also my peer, colleague, and friend as a technical evangelist as well. How you doing, Tommy?
Doing great, Blaine. Good to be back.
Excellent. Yeah, we're back for part two. You want to run us through what we're going to see for part two?
That's right, Blaine. Part two is we're getting into the web and file services on Windows Azure. So web and file services built into a virtual environment in a domain that we created in part one, all in our own Windows Azure account. And so that's a big thing for administrators, because they can now go in and administer their own little lab environment or their proof of concept in Windows Azure, something they may not have had hardware for before. So as we build onto that environment, we build the web and the file services into that environment, then what we're going to do is install the PowerShell tools on your machine. A step-by-step process, this helps you get started. You can do this on your own as well. So if you missed part one or you missed part two, go on to virtuallycloud9.com, check out the guide, go through that, and then you're caught up and you'll be able to join us in part three.
Absolutely. In fact, make sure you have your Azure account. You can get that at http://azurebootcamp. Hey, Tommy, let's take a look at part two.
Today, what we're going to do is we'll go through the configuration of those two virtual machines, and then we're also going to install the Azure PowerShell tools. So those will be used in session three to do some deprovisioning, and we might go over some advanced topics there as well as things we can do with those PowerShell tools. So first off, let's go ahead and connect back to that web server via RDP. So on your machine, on your client workstation, what we're going to do is log into the Azure portal, make sure we get to that lab web server that you created, and click on the connect button at the very bottom that you'll see highlighted here on the screen. Once you do that, you should be prompted, of course, with the normal warning, since we don't have a valid certificate, you'll see that you can go ahead and check the box not to show it again and hit connect. You'll want to enter your admin credentials, and then again, if you want to go ahead and bypass that warning, go ahead and click yes. So just one quick note, we talked about this before, but every RDP session for Azure has a randomly generated port number, so the standard port number of 3389 doesn't work. So if you don't use this particular downloaded connector, you're going to have trouble. You need to know what that port number is before you can continue. All right, so now hopefully we're all logged into the web server. What we want to do now is create the data volume. So we added the disk in the last session through the Azure portal. But now what we're going to do is go ahead and dive into computer management. So click on Tools in the top right corner and select Computer Management. And this will take us into the old computer management GUI that we all know and love. Click on Disk Management, and you'll see an initialized disk pop up, as disk 2 has shown up already, right? Go ahead and just click OK to initialize the disk. Now, right-click on where it says 10 gig unallocated. Go ahead and right-click there and select New Simple Volume. And then let's walk through the wizard. So hit Next. Simple volume size in megabytes, we're going to leave it where it stands now, at right at 10 gigs, so go ahead and hit Next. Assign the following drive letter of F, hit Next. Let's go ahead and give the volume label data. Leave that perform a quick format checked and hit Next. You may get a pop-up here about formatting the drive. Go ahead and click OK to that. Let it go through its motions and then click Finish. As a good check, go ahead and go to File Explorer and see if you see the new F drive once you're finished. That helps things along pretty quickly. So now joining the web server to the domain, That's the next piece we need to do. So let's go into Server Manager, click on the local server, and then on the right, in the middle pane there, you'll see Workgroup. So let's go ahead and click the word Workgroup. It should be highlighted in blue on your screen. And that's going to bring up the system properties. Go ahead and hit Change. Let's go ahead and select the domain and make sure you enter the fully qualified domain that you created in the past session. Click OK. And then let's fill in that admin user and password. And then click OK. Great. That completes the web server pieces for now. We'll go back to that in just a few minutes. So it's going to need a reboot, and we'll let that occur. We're going to jump into the file server via RDP. So let's go ahead and go back to the Azure portal, click on that lab file server that we created, and click Connect. Same steps as in the past. So if you're already jumping through this, you know, feel free, go ahead and jump ahead. Connecting to the file server via RDP. So we'll go ahead and click on Open at the bottom of the screen. That'll open up that RDP connection. Bypass the warnings, click Connect. Let's go ahead and put in that admin user we created and the password. And let's go ahead and click OK. Okay, same steps. Let's go to Tools in the Server Manager. Go ahead and click on the local server, go to Tools, go to Computer Management, and let's go into Disk Management. Click on, this too should already be selected, so click on OK. That will initialize the disk. And now let's right-click in the area that says 10 gigabyte unallocated, and click New Simple Volume, and then click Next. Again, let's leave that volume size at the default, hit Next, assign the drive letter of F, hit Next, and then the volume label, let's go ahead and make that data, and hit Next, and then let's click Finish when we're complete. Again, you may get a pop-up about formatting the drive, go ahead and let that finish, and let's go into File Explorer and validate that the F drive does show up. All right, now let's go ahead and go into Server Manager. Click on the local server. Click on Workgroup. And let's add this to the domain as well. So fully qualified domain name after you click Change. And let's put it in that domain user and password, domain admin user and password. For me, it was the same across the board because I use the same user on all of my machines. And once I created the domain, it was the same. So hopefully yours is as well. Make it easy. Click OK. All right. Well, let's jump back into the web server. So let's installing IIS. What we're going to do this time when we connect to that RDP session, I want to use the domain slash user and password. That way we're logging in as the domain admin. And click OK. In Server Manager, let's go to Manage. Add roles and features. There's a summary preview box that pops up, just gives you a little bit of a heads up of things you might want to consider. You can skip that if you'd like. Hit Next. Role-based or feature-based installation. So again, you know, remote desktop services installation, not something we're including in this series. So keep that top box selected and hit Next. Select the server from the list, click Next, all right, and let's add the features. So when you select Web Server IIS, it's going to automatically pop up this Add Features That Are Required box, and there's nothing to change here, just click Add Features, and then click Next. On the standard Add Features page that will pop up shortly thereafter, hit Next, because we're not going to add anything else. Now, if you were to do some type of retro web server, or you might need the .NET framework for 3.5, you know, you would go ahead and hit Next. or select that and hit next. But for today, we're just going to stick to the standard web installation. All right. And now the IIS wizard pops up. So let's go ahead and hit next for the first screen. We're going to keep the defaults. Notice there's a lot of different things you can choose here. You know, login tools, you can do web dev, HTTP redirection. There's tons of things in here we could do, but for today, let's just go ahead and hit next. And then the standard roles and features wizard pop-up comes up and says, hey, you know, you can restart automatically. So if you want to, and I always go ahead and check that for this type of thing, hit check on that. It'll pop up something, say, are you sure you want to do automatic restarts? Say yes, and then click install. And then from there, we can watch the feature installation. You can just close that whenever you're ready. All right. So after a few minutes, when it gets finished, if you hit F5 to refresh your screen, you'll see that IIS now shows up in Server Manager. If you right-click on the web server, go ahead and click on Internet Information Services Manager. All right, that's going to take us into the traditional IIS manager where we can manage the websites. You're probably going to get a pop-up saying you want to install the web platform and keep it up to date. You can do that. If you select that and say yes, it will go out and install the web platform installer site. So if it does pop up, go ahead and cancel for now. We're not going to go through that process, but at least that would be selected. And then let's verify things. So just hit the Windows key on your keyboard if you're on Windows 8. Otherwise, launch Internet Explorer. And this would be in that RDP session because we have not published this out to the web, right? This would be just connecting to the local host. So once you're in Internet Explorer, go ahead and enter http://localhost and hit enter. You should see this splash screen for IIS 8. And for that, we will say the web server is complete, ready for any type of website you'd like to deploy. Let's jump back into the file services server. So again, let's log in with our domain credentials. So launch that RDP session, just like we did from the Azure portal. Go ahead and put in your domain admin user and password. We're going to go into Server Manager, click on Manage, Add Roles and Features. Again, you'll get the wizard coming up. You can skip the first page if you'd like and hit Next. We're going to choose role-based and feature-based installation again. And this time what we're going to do is drill down into the file and storage services. You'll notice it's grayed out, like it's already been selected. However, the file server piece has not been checked, so you want to expand this and go into file server. Notice this is where you can turn on your branch cache, data deduplication, DFS, iSCSI target, and NFS. But for today, let's just do the file server and click Next. Select to restart the server. Go ahead and go through the features page just to click Next on that. Then select to restart destination server automatically if required. Click Yes and then click Install. And then from there, we should see the feature installation complete fairly quickly. All right. Now, if we do a refresh, we should see that file and storage services there. Again, hopefully the F drive has shown up for you. And when you go to create a file share, start the new share wizard. So when you click on shares, you'll see this to create a file share, start the new share wizard. Go ahead and click that. And then for this purpose, we're just going to use quick, the SMB share quick. However, the advanced is there. And applications. So the applications would be if you're going to house data like a SQL database or virtual machines. Now in Azure, we wouldn't be hosting any virtual machines in that share, but for purposes of maybe your on-site server install, that's what that's for. We have a whole series on server blog series that we did. So if you want to get into that, feel free to come out to my blog, Virtual Cloud 9. Okay, I've got a post on there with all of the series around server. So go ahead and click quick and click next. And then we're going to choose the F drive. So down at the bottom, you'll see select by volume. Go ahead and click the F drive, hit next. And then let's fill in a share name. So I just use the word test for my share. Notice it will automatically populate at the bottom with anything you type in the top. And also it will create the folder if the folder does not exist already. Let's go ahead and click next. Review the options. For this one, we're going to leave the defaults, but you can see how you can get a little more granular with what happens with this file share. The next stage is going to show you what users are allowed. And we're just going to click next on that screen as well. And then review the summary and click create. Once that process is completed, you'll see it happen really fast. So just go ahead and hit close. And now let's jump back into the web server. And from the web server, let's go into File Explorer and enter in the path to our file server /test. So let's do /test file server/test in there, hit enter, and you should see it connect to the file share. And congratulations, we are now at the point where the file server and the web server are now on the domain and fulfilling the services we were hoping to fulfill. What we're going to do next is jump into the PowerShell tool install. So with Azure, there's the web portal, and you can manually install VMs or create websites and that kind of thing. But there's also a very good PowerShell module that can be used to script loading machines. We're actually going to have that in part of our series for this Azure web series coming up. But you want to download that, install, and configure it. All right. So the landing page, if you go to www.windowsazure.com/en-us/manage/downloads, scroll down to the near the bottom, and you'll see the command line tools. Notice there are Windows, Mac, and Linux versions. For this exercise, I'm on Windows 8, so I choose Windows Azure PowerShell and click on Save. The reason I'm going to do that is because I want to run it as administrator. So find where you've downloaded it, right-click Run as Administrator, and then you're going to get an install prompt. So go ahead and click Install, and then click I Accept. Now there's going to be a web platform installer that launches. Okay, and if you miss that and if it doesn't launch properly, go ahead and rerun this executable. It has to run because the following screen goes out and grabs those prerequisites and goes through the installation. Once it's finished, you make sure you see everything on the right lines up properly. You've got the Windows Azure PowerShell. There's a SQL Express Local DB edition that gets installed. That's for handling credentials and that kind of stuff. And then click Finish. That pretty much concludes the PowerShell tool installation. We're going to be using this in Session 3, so hopefully everyone gets this successfully installed.
So great job, Tommy, on Part 2 of Web and File Services with Windows Azure. What would you like to close with?
Just like to say, it was really great having everybody online, live on these web sessions. Also, if you missed anything on any of these parts, they will be available on virtuallycloud9.com, so you can go through the blog post there and get caught up.
Tommy, that was great. Part 2 of looking at web and file services with Windows Azure. And with that, it's a wrap.